Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. We're getting closer and closer to that time of the year.
Bah, humbug.
I was waiting on it, Scott. I just knew it. I knew it was coming. Well, I'm Katie Givens. I'm not a lawyer.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
And also not a big fan of the holiday season here. I'm ready for to be over with.
When you said it after
Kelly. No, certainly not Kelly Turner.
I like the holidays.
Yeah. It's a disruption to my normal routine.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And that sounds callous and awful, but that's just the way it is.
I too am a creature of habit and routine.
Well, we all are, right?
I am always ready in January to get back into my routine.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
I precede that by 1 month.
Do you have all your decorations out?
Yes, I do. They're out. I finished the tree. Yesterday morning.
I've still got to get my tree down. We were still working on it, but yeah, I've got everything but the tree, and I just can't do that by myself.
Yeah, that's the big tall one, right?
But I just can't. They're in the attic, and I can't get them.
Yeah,
front. It's the whole thing. That's a
two person job. I've helped get things out of their attic before. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There are two decorations I've yet to put out, but that's because they're on their way to me in the mail. And
you didn't have enough shit already?
Well, this was for my front porch. In my house, yes, I don't need anything else.
All right.
But the front porch on either side of my door, I usually have just two pre-lit trees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No nothing. Just have them out there. They look nice from the road.
Sure.
Those got chunked this year because they were, you know, you try to pick them up and the bottom falls down and the top comes off and they've seen better days. Wow. So
if your husband was even a bit of a handyman, he might have been able to fix it for you.
Well, he would have gladly tried to fix it for me. I said, throw those away. I was in the mood this year when we were getting the decorations out. If there was anything remotely wrong or that I even thought was wrong with something, I'd chunk it. This was the year. I was like, chunk it. We're not doing this. I'm not going to, you know, duct tape.
Right.
Chunk it.
You know, duct tape just looks like tinsel from the road.
It does.
That would have been fine.
It does.
Do you know that tinsel has made a comeback?
Ugh. Yes. And tinsel and glitter, boo.
Yeah.
Oh, see, it is a mess, but I
of course
love both. And I'll never forget, I don't remember if it was the first year we were married or right around there. And I love to wrap a Christmas gift.
I need you to wrap mine.
Yeah. Can I bring some stuff?
I love to wrap. And I had bought this the thick wrapping paper is so much better. And it had so much glitter, and I had no idea how messy this was about to be. And our house was not the same.
Like a glitter bomb went off.
Yes. Yeah. And then just continuously, and then, you know, you take those presents to someone else, and the glitter's in the car. And so Shane made a decree that, you know, no more glitter wrapping paper. And I was like, that's probably a solid decision.
I, too, had to learn that the hard way one year. Just got some... It didn't have a lot of glitter, just a little bit. In March, I was still getting glitter out of my house.
I just used those, when you go to the grocery store and they give you plastic bags to put your groceries in, I use those.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just a really tight knot at the top. It makes you feel like you're opening
you
something.
You use the Clark Griswold post tree burn wrapping.
Yes. That is correct.
Just slinging bags on the tree. Oh, that's great. All right, so are we ready today?
I guess so.
I guess we're all talked out. Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am in the big chair today.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of you, I mean, I told you what we were doing right before we pressed record. Do y'all even remember what I said?
No.
Okay.
You said a person's name.
Would you?
In a place.
Yeah. Would you guys like to go back to Arkansas today?
Not necessarily.
We've been to Arkansas.
Metaphorically is fine. In person, I'm good.
It was earlier this year we did the three-part series about the West Memphis Three. I think that was back in May and June.
Yeah.
So we have been there before, and if I remember correctly, we don't think very highly of law enforcement in Arkansas.
Well,
historically speaking,
yeah. I think today we're okay.
All right.
Anyways, this is a case that happened in 2014, so we're going to go.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's still 10 years from today as we sit here, but you know, a little
and
more
20
modern.
Years after. Mm-hmm. The West Memphis Three.
And then, you know, we also visited Arkansas for a moment when we did The Boys on the Tracks, which did not give anybody a good impression of anybody in Arkansas, from the governor all the way to Fahmy Malik, the medical examiner.
The idiot
I say that
examiner.
In quotes. Yeah. I don't even know that he was a doctor. Anyways, but we are in Arkansas in 2014. But first, let me take you back to Alabama. And let's talk about our Alabama tie. It's a brief Alabama tie, really quickly. The person that we are talking about today is Beverly Carter. Beverly Carter was a real estate agent in Arkansas. But before then, Beverly was born on December the 20th, 1963, on the McClellan Air Force Base in Anniston, Alabama. So just an hour from here.
Okay.
And so that's really all that I have on her time in Alabama. I have no idea how much time
she
spent.
So
she
was probably
spent.
An Army brat. Maybe her, I would think one so. Of her parents or both were in the military.
I don't know. And so what we're going to do is, now we are going to fast forward to 2014.
Okay.
Beverly is 50 years old, about to be 51 at this time, because we are in September of 2014. Now we are in Pulaski County, Arkansas now. And she is married to Carl. They've been married for 35 years.
Wow.
They have two sons, Carl Jr. and Chad. And, you know, just kind of living their life. She's a real estate agent.
She got married when she was 15?
I don't know.
If I did the math right, she did.
The article said she'd been married for 35 years and she was 50.
35 years and she's 50.
Mm-hmm. 50. So I don't know.
That's 15.
Oh, well.
Anyway, sorry.
Whatever. Proceed. I don't know. Katie's going to put the, because I emailed her all the references. You can take a look at those, but it's just 35 years.
I got to remember to do that. I never send Katie the references.
35 years. You know, let's think about that, though. What year would they have gotten married?
78.
Yeah. Was that really?
If she was 15. No, I guess maybe not.
It's in the 70s.
No, probably not.
That's, that's about how old Priscilla Presley was when...
I thought she was 13.
I was about to say,
I said about.
That was... Yeah, let's...
Yeah,
Elvis.
Sorry, we're...
Questionable decision, Elvis. I'm sorry about that.
This is my fault.
That's all right. Let's
rabbit holes.
Go back to Arkansas. It is September the 25th, 2014, and it was pretty much a day like any other for Beverly Carter. She actually started off this day with some interesting luck. There was some sort of office competition there, and she had won $50. So, good day. She talks with her husband, and she says, I am scheduled to show a home to a couple at 6 p.m. tonight. And then after that, I'm going to pick up some dinner, and I'll be home. Fine. Mm-hmm. Business as usual.
Yeah.
In the household. So Beverly shows up to the home at 14202 Old River Drive. And it's in this, an area of Arkansas called Scott.
Well, there, Scott.
Yay.
So she drove, her own car, which was a brown Cadillac SUV. So she parks it there. She goes in to show the home to this couple. Now, that was at 6 o'clock. Carl's starting to get worried because we're coming up on 9 o'clock and she's not home. Mm-hmm. And her plan was show the home, grab dinner, be home. Mm-hmm. So at 9 o'clock, something's not right. So he actually goes to that location just 3 hours later. He sees her car there. It's locked. Her purse is inside. The doorway to the home is standing open. Mm-hmm. No one is in the home. No one anywhere to be seen.
Right.
So obviously, he calls the police. And so they come and do an investigation around the house. Immediately, they're going to form a search party. A lot of her colleagues and fellow realtors across the town are going to start searching for her and walking everywhere, handing out flyers, trying to find Beverly. In the meantime, the investigators are watching a home of Crystal Lowry. And they are going to follow a man by the name of Aaron Lewis there. And they're going to find him on the morning of September 28th when he crashes his car. He goes to the hospital to be treated for injuries. He leaves and runs. And then they arrest him the following day at a bus stop in Little Rock. They're going to bring him in and they're going to charge him with capital murder, robbery, and kidnapping.
So something that they saw inside the house during that investigation led them to think, hey, we need to see what this guy's up to, which is why they went to his house and ended up following him.
I think there were some tips and we'll kind of get into that a little bit. But yeah, you know, she's obviously keeping tabs on who she's coming to see. Mm-hmm. And so they're very close-lipped about how they got all of their information.
Okay.
And the reason at this point in time is because they still don't know where Beverly is. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking that they're dealing with a kidnapping situation. Okay. But eventually they are going to arrest him, you know, capital murder, mm-hmm. robbery, kidnapping. So they're going to use Beverly's cell phone data to discover her body. And they're going to find her body on September the 30th, 2014. It was found in a shallow grave at a cement plant in Cabot nearby. All these little areas are nearby where Lewis once worked. So not a smart mm-mm. criminal
not really.
That we're dealing with here. Now, the Captain Simon Hayes, he said that Beverly had been a, quote, target of opportunity. He says that Lewis had arranged to meet her at the empty home. He told reporters, he granted some reporters an interview while he was being jailed. And he told them that he targeted her because, quote, she was just a woman that worked alone, a rich broker.
Oh.
So he's going to, I believe that the plan in all of the different times that he talks to individuals, he's going to talk to a reporter, he's talking to the investigators, he talks to different people. It seemed to be hold her for ransom, make a quick buck.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, in October of 2014, not long after they bury Beverly, they're going to bury her on October the 4th. Mm-hmm. They're going to arrest, they are calling this lady, his wife, Crystal Lowry, even though they have two different last names, but I believe they're calling her his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So they're going to arrest her as his accomplice. She is going to agree to plead guilty to reduced charges of first-degree murder and kidnapping in exchange for testimony mm-hmm. on Lewis. And so a lot of the information that we get does come from her, but there are other sources in collecting the evidence. It's not, I don't feel like it's shoddy evidence collecting. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
So fast forward to the trial in 2016. So that's 2 years later.
Yeah.
And this is what Crystal says the plan was. She says that Lewis was going to kidnap Beverly, keep her in an abandoned office building at the concrete plant
mm-hmm.
while they made ransom demands. But when they got to the building, it had gone through some changes that they didn't know about because he was not currently employed there.
Oh.
And that made the plan impossible. So,
in other words, his key didn't work on the door anymore.
Well, and I think just the layout probably. I mean, he's not.
Shit, it's locked and the key doesn't work.
There
Plan
wasn't
B.
that supply closet to hide her in anymore or whatever.
Darn, whatever it was. Yeah. So, with Beverly tied up in the trunk of his car, we got to get a different plan, mm-hmm. right? According to Crystal Lowry. So she says, where are you going to take her? Because I don't want her at my house. And he really didn't know. They're just kind of stuck at this point. Like, we don't really know what to do. Mm. Or we don't have plan B.
Yeah.
We just had this plan A. And I'm not really sure what the outcome of plan A was supposed to be after they got a ransom. Mm. Were they going to give her back? I don't know.
Yeah.
He did not hide his face from her. At this point in time, you know, she's seen what he looks like. She's not laid eyes on Crystal because Crystal wasn't there. It was just him, just Aaron. So he didn't disguise himself. Mm. I'm not really sure that they even got that far.
Yeah. Do we believe that this was actually a kidnapping plan, or is this a story that they concocted after they got caught?
It could have been. And that is a very valid point.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is just coming from her testimony in court and from police reports. Okay. So, all right. So Lewis eventually brought Beverly to his Jacksonville home. Again, we're all in that little area of Arkansas there, where the couple kept her bound with duct tape in the bathroom. Now, Crystal Lowry was supposed to guard her with a stun gun while Lewis went back to the abduction site to retrieve her purse. They didn't get her purse, so they're going to go. He's going to go back. He wants to get her purse. They've asked Beverly for her PIN number. Mm. They want to clean out her bank account.
Mm-hmm.
She has given them her PIN number. But when he goes back, in the meantime, her husband's already been there and called the cops. So the place is swarming with cops. So he leaves. So he doesn't get the purse and the debit card. Again, we're not an organized.
This is one
criminal.
Step below Raising Arizona level stupidity.
Yes, we're not going to win any awards for intelligence. Mm-mm. Here. All right. Now, prosecutors say the couple forced Beverly to record a 12-second ransom message, begging her husband to cooperate or it could be bad. But he never saw this until after she was dead, like all this comes out in trial. And
so they did have a plan.
They did. There was a little bit of a plan there for that. So they decided to abandon the ransom plan at this point, and they're going to get rid of Beverly instead. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid, again, as I said, she knows what Lewis looks like, Aaron Lewis, and they eventually do take her back to that house because, you know, Crystal first didn't want her to go there, but then they did. They put her in the bathroom, and then Crystal's worried because she's got prescriptions in the bathroom with her name on it. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking she can now identify who we are. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get rid of her.
Okay.
All right. At this point, they wrap her head in duct tape and let her suffocate to death while her hands were tied behind her back.
Oh, that's awful.
In that bathroom. Yeah.
That is horrible. Oh.
Yeah. A terrible, terrible death. And we will get to a little more of the evidence that came out in trial right after a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a health option in Cherokee County where the staff makes you feel just like family? Then look no further than Cherokee Family Healthcare. Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment, or just walk into the office at 819 West Main Street and Center. If you aren't feeling well, and let them help you return to good health.
Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare are accepting new patients, and they accept most insurance plans. So whether you're suffering from a cold, the flu, aches or pains, or want to learn more about weight loss or preventative testing, make an appointment by calling Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare at 256-266-1021 and let them get you on your way back to good health.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, while I was dining at Easy Street, I met a man from Georgia who told me that he and his wife were visiting the Weiss Lake area, planning to relocate here permanently when he retires soon. I told him the first thing that came to my mind, call Greg Oliver at Go Realty. The number is 256-504-3847. Greg is the owner and the broker at Go Realty right here in Cherokee County. If you're thinking of moving here or anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, if you're looking for property anywhere in the area, call Greg. He has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he's ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. He's got 25 years of experience in the real estate market. Go again and look at that complete list that he currently has for offer. That's Greg Oliver, Weislake.com. So visit the website or call Greg Oliver at...
What's that number again?
Thanks, guys. 256-504-3847.
And as we move into our holiday season, the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce wants to remind everyone to shop local.
Cherokee County has some lovely shops that you can patron throughout the holiday season. Get any kind of gifts that you need. Scott, what kind of gifts do you need?
I don't really need anything, but there are plenty of things that I want, and you can get a lot of those things right here in Cherokee County. You can get a great meal at one of the many restaurants that is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's as simple as filling up your gas tank at a local station. Mm-hmm. Before you go out of town to do some shopping, if you have to leave town, but we hope you don't. Stay right here in Cherokee County.
Oh, yeah. And my gift that I want you to get me, Scott, you can definitely buy local. So I'll let you know about that later.
Well, you're going to ruin the surprise.
So we want to challenge all of you to make sure to do as much shopping as you can this holiday season right here in Cherokee County.
And if you need more information, visit cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, open at 11.
Great lunch menu.
Let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Katie, so what's your favorite? Yeah.
I like, you can get a flatbread pizza. Mm-hmm. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the vegetables.
It's all
the
good.
Yum yum sauce.
Ooh.
So delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are.
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes.
Yes.
Come see us. Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. Okay, Kelly, I guess we need to know the details, huh?
Yeah, let's get to some of the evidence that was in trial. Now, the defense attorney, Bill James, this was his argument during the trial. He says that Beverly was never abducted at all. She had willingly gone with the couple as part of a sexual hookup.
This
is the story. Are we really going to sell this? Yeah, he went on to say that his client hadn't even been home at the time Beverly died and suggested she may have died during a consensual sex act with Crystal Lowry. So he's trying to give the impression in his opening statements that Beverly was a woman who was going through a midlife crisis and was living secret lives that others knew nothing about. Katie, what is this really a good angle as a defense attorney? I mean, if you're on the jury and you're hearing that about this victim...
I don't see how you get any sympathy from... he must have looked at everything. That's something crazy these crazy people told him.
I mean, it could have been.
But it seems horrible. It seems like a horrible strategy.
That sounds almost as ridiculous as when we talked about Meredith Hunter with the stones at Altamont, where the defense attorney for Alan Pizarro said he was there to assassinate Mick Jagger. That's our defense. And he stopped an assassination.
Right.
When you're, what's the old saying, Katie? When you have the facts... Mm-hmm. on your side, use the facts. When you have the law on your side, use the law. When you have neither one, bang on the table.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
He's banging on the table.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so he argued that Beverly had been suffering from financial and marital problems at the time and described her real estate sales for the year as, quote, in the toilet compared to previous years. So not only are we're gonna attack her a little bit and do some, I don't know. This
character
just feels
assassination.
Terrible.
No, this it is just, terrible.
Yeah, yeah, but I understand a defense attorney has to do his job, but I don't know if this is a good angle. I guess you've got nothing else. You're right, Scott. I mean, I guess bang on the table.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, we've got to look at this truthfully, not from a fantasy. Beverly was making bad decisions at this point in her life.
Oh, God.
It just feels weird, right? I mean, just feel, if you're on the jury and you're like, I don't know.
I'm curious to know if this was some high dollar defense attorney or if it's the
appointed
local.
I don't know. This guy goes through a lot of
a defense attorney trying to make a name for himself.
Well, this guy goes through a lot. Lewis goes through a lot of attorneys that at one point in time wanted to represent himself, but then they finally landed on this Bill James guy. I don't really know.
Going through a lot of attorneys probably means he could not agree with them on defense strategy. You know,
he finally found someone I think that would go with what he's trying to sell, I guess. But it's probably, well, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I am not for representing yourself at trial. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, and now too, I mean, I guess you always have that right, but it's very difficult, especially in a case like this, because you just don't know the rules of court and you're not going to be able to get anywhere.
No.
You know, like and they don't help you. Like you decided to represent yourself. No one's telling you how to get evidence in, how to get testimony in, how to call witnesses. Right.
They are assuming at that point that you know.
Yeah.
You've decided to take this on, so you must have the knowledge to do this.
They're also not going to tell the attorney beside you how to do it either.
No.
You have to come in knowing the rules of court.
Right.
It's the hardest part, really.
And the attorney beside you knows how to do it because they're an attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's okay. So we move on through the trial, and we call some different people for testimony. One of the people that was called for testimony was this investigator. His last name was Allison. And what they're pulling from his things that he said while investigating the case is he made a statement to one of Beverly's coworkers when he was interviewing her. And he said, well, everybody has a secret life. And at that point, Beverly had not been found. And he was just trying to zone in. He had gotten some rumblings of, was there any marital issues? Was there any financial issues? Was there?
Sure. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for something that would help explain.
Right. Because statistically, he's probably going in the right direction.
Sure.
Did the husband do it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Statistically, it's not some rando.
Yeah.
You know. So he's making this statement, and of course, the colleague is very defensive of Beverly and says, you know, if you knew her, you wouldn't think this at all. She's a very transparent, open book person. But he doesn't know that. I don't really fault him for making a statement, but they are going to ask him about that. And they're going to ask him, you know, why did you say that? And he goes on to say basically everything that I've just said. We hadn't found her yet. I was fishing. I was trying to turn over every leaf. I was trying to get as much information as possible. And so that was why. And he says, the colleague did know that Beverly had some financial worries, but did not have any information on any kind of marital issues. So we've at least identified that, yeah, there were some financial worries. I don't know the extent to that, and they don't really go into detail here.
I would argue as a realtor, you always have financial worries because you don't, I mean, you can have, you know, a great month and then a terrible month. Mm-hmm. So you're in sales.
Yeah. And she, 2013 could have been a fantastic year for her, and 2014 just wasn't living up to it. Or she's a 50-year-old woman. I would argue that 50-year-olds all could agree on some financial worries from time to time. That's called life, but I don't know the extent to it. And they never really elaborate on any of the articles or any of the testimony or anything that I could
find. I'd love to know if the real estate market was just down in that area at that time, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, and every place is different in the country, but I mean, there was the recession in 2009. So you would think that by 2014, the real estate market had rebounded.
It's kind of ticking.
But every place, like you said, Katie, every part of the country is different.
Yeah, I didn't get involved until 2019. So I have no idea about 2014.
Yeah. If the big, if the big paper mill in town had just closed down, then there was not a real estate market, for example. But I'm, right. I'm not saying that happened, but you just don't know
right
what the real estate market was like in that area.
Right. Now, this investigator, Allison, also testified that he spoke to Lewis, Aaron Lewis, and said that Lewis admitted to him that he kidnapped Beverly, bound her using green duct tape. And then when he showed the jury pictures, when the prosecutor showed the pictures of her body, you know, he's making this presentation in court. And I believe actually this particular prosecutor, there was a woman on board. There was a team, of course. Mm-hmm. But anyways, showing pictures of the jury and then shows Dallas and said, what color is that tape on her?
Right.
Green. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's testifying that Lewis said it was green duct tape,
which is,
you know, and then there's
a unique point. I mean, think when you say duct tape, you think silver in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and then we have this one very specific mm-hmm. piece of information that he yeah. told this investigator. I don't know. There was another investigator, Michael Hendricks, that was interviewed and talks about the ride in the police car with Lewis, saying that he went into detail about kidnapping her and targeting her he got online and targeted her because she was a rich broker who worked alone, same as he told a reporter.
Lawyer.
So, yeah.
You say one word.
Talking mm-hmm. in the car. This particular investigator testified that they searched Beverly's computer. They did not find any dating sites or any kind of browser history or evidence of these hookups or yeah. anything mm-hmm. like that might have been going on. And of course, the defense is going to try to say, well, do you even know the names of all the dating sites? Do you even know how to find them? You know, just sort of creating doubt,
yeah,
which is what sure. the defense
That's
attorney
their job.
Is supposed to do, but not... the browsing history, but he does go as far to ask this investigator, he says, you know, why didn't you print off the entire browsing history for evidence? Sort of acting like he may have hid some things.
Yeah, just another seed of doubt planted in the jury's sure. mind.
And I don't think that we have to have Beverly's entire browsing history.
No.
Beverly's not on trial.
Mm. Right.
We're going to bring forth browser history that might be relevant to mm-hmm. what the defense is trying to say. Wouldn't mm. you think, Katie? Yeah. Or is that...
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely.
We're not... She's not on trial. Mm-hmm. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyways.
If their affirmative defense is, oh, she wanted this, and they should be trying to mm-hmm. show that.
Yeah.
That, oh, no, here's the site that she used. Here's how she
right. here's how she met him on this mm-hmm. dating site. Here's how they texted and decided to meet.
Yeah.
Here's how.
Yeah, that's a much stronger argument if she has a Tinder account.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. Or text messaging that says.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're saying that they, you know, this was all consensual, where did you meet? How did you contact each other?
Sure. And they're not able to produce any of that kind of evidence. So that's a dead end, really, for them. I mean, we do have, okay, there may have been some financial issues, which does kind of go along with their story. There was also an investigator who talked about the crime scene and where she was buried and that there was, they probed the ground for fresh dirt, and he goes into how they were looking in the area, and when they saw that specific plot of fresh dirt there is when they got down, started digging, and that's when they found her, was in this shallow grave. And part of Crystal Lowry's story talks about getting this dirt and, you know, making sure that it's on this grave to cover her up. I mean, I don't know if either of you have ever dug a grave, and this sounds very morbid, but I'm talking about you've had pets.
Sure.
And you dig a grave, and it's not as simple as you would think. I mean, you dig up this dirt, but it doesn't necessarily pack back in just nicely, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So you might need a little more dirt to kind of cover over the top, and they had done that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so. All right. So we get to a local television reporter who did the jailhouse interview with Aaron Lewis shortly after he was arrested. And that's when he was telling this reporter that he was cheating on his wife with Beverly Carter. Her death was accidental and he panicked. And that story that she brings to the table as a testimony, she kind of gets blasted in cross-examination with the, really both sides. Her testimony really just kind of says that. And it's like, she's like, I was just there to take down what he said, and that's all I did. And so that's what he said to her. So basically, to sum up her testimony, that was pretty much it. He said it was an accident. He said he was having an affair with her, and it was an accident. I don't know if he's just trying to not
get... Well, that's a completely different story from the story he told initially, right?
Yeah, it is. So, he first said it was a ransom.
Yeah.
Then he's
Well, it's not the
saying,
reporter's fault. Don't shoot the messenger. She's just repeating what
he
said.
Yeah, she just kind of says this, and so it just sort of brings to light yet another story.
This makes him look worse to me.
A different person, yeah. Okay. Brittany Ballard, who does internet searches and other things for incarcerated inmates, was on the stand as well. And she said that Aaron Lewis used her services twice, and she had a 22-page affidavit that she put on Aaron Lewis's Facebook page on his behalf. It was handwritten and notarized, and it was basically what he says claims happened. And in this affidavit, he's stating that he met Beverly. She was going to have a hookup with him and his wife. So see, now it's everybody's involved. And when Crystal Lowry gets on the stand, she is able to tell the jury and the court that everything in this affidavit is not correct. It goes into this elaborate story of how they were doing these sexual hookups. And I don't want to read the whole affidavit because then immediately they ask her, is any of this true? And Crystal Lowry says, no, it's not. Oh, so it's this big, long, detailed
22 pages
story. Mm-hmm. And
which took half the day.
Right. And then I'm scrolling past it here because I'm just like, well, here it is. And she says, no, it's not true. And then the prosecutor said, did you ever solicit Beverly Carter? And Crystal says, no. Mm. And she says, if this was an accident like Aaron Lewis is claiming, would you plead guilty to murder and kidnapping? And Crystal Lowry says, no. And so that kind of took the wind out of that.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, Crystal Lowry is the biggest, what am I trying to say, for the prosecution? Like, she's the witness. Right. She's the witness of the hour here. Yeah. Like, they're wanting to know, and she's the one who's telling it. Now, the defense is going to try to say, well, you know, she's saying all this because she's cut a deal.
Exactly.
And, of course, you want to try to...
She's scorned wise.
Yeah, take... damage her character as well, which that's what you do. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong for that.
I don't feel sorry for either of the two of these people if
I really
they got their
mean.
Character assassinated in the process.
Right.
Good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then we have a state medical examiner called.
Oh, God.
It was not Fahmy.
Okay. Thank
Fahmy was long gone. As far as I can tell, Dr. Charles Coakes was a doctor and a very good and thorough state medical examiner. Okay. So let's give Arkansas some credit on this.
Silent round
one.
Of applause,
yeah.
State of Arkansas.
The investigators, the cops, you know what? Good job. So I felt like we needed a win. This is not a win because Beverly died, but I mean, you know, something good for Arkansas.
There was nowhere to go but up.
You're correct. Fahmy Malik set the bar very low.
On the floor.
Yeah.
Wow.
He dug a hole and buried it.
So this is the medical examiner, and he says that in his opinion, the only way Beverly Carter could have died
was the duct tape mask that was wrapped around her head.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, stuck to that. Mm-hmm. And he's a doctor and a medical examiner. I don't know that you would actually need a doctor and a medical examiner to convince me that wrapping duct tape around someone's head completely kills mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would, common sense would lead yeah. most anyone to believe.
Mm-hmm. Common sense also would say that you're not doing that if you plan on taking it off of them.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. like if it's just some weird thing that you're doing, wrapping duct
yeah,
tape
if it's,
around.
Yeah, if it's a sex act.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't wrap duct tape around a woman's head. Like it's going to get in her hair. You're going to rip mm-hmm. her hair out.
Yeah.
Like,
and here's the thing. If you're doing a kinky sex act, mm-hmm. okay, fine. I don't care what you do in your own time. Mm-hmm. That's none of my business. Logistically, it makes no sense when you're wrapping someone's entire head in duct tape for it to be a sex act, because first of all, you're going to quickly kill the person mm-hmm. because they cannot breathe. There's no other way for them to breathe. And second of all, how is somebody going to say a safe word?
Right.
Their mouth is covered in duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just logistically, it doesn't make any sense to me, but you know what? That's not my life. That's not my business. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So just saying.
I don't know anything about how any of that works anyway, so I will take your word for it.
No, I don't know how it works either, but I'm just thinking logistically.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I'm with you.
You know, if you're going to do kinky stuff, okay, that's fine, but you need to be able to breathe through the process
mm-hmm.
and duct tape all over your entire head. And like you said, Katie, it's going to get in your hair and you're trying to take that off. And yeah. that makes no sense yeah. to me.
Even if you could somehow breathe, like, That seems like a non-starter.
Yeah.
Duct tape in there.
There's
That's
been
just dumb.
Very little about this story so far that has made any sense.
Exactly. And there's so many different versions mm-hmm. of it. Crystal's story never changes as far as her testimony. She's not, I mean, they try to damage her character, of course.
Sure.
But I believe that they did a good job of showing using her testimony as well, that she was an accomplice, mm-hmm. that she absolutely was in on this plan mm-hmm. for this ransom.
If you're going to try and perpetrate a kidnapping plot, you've got to have more than one person
yeah.
to do that,
mm-hmm.
right?
You do.
Somebody's got to be the drop man. Somebody has to make the phone calls. And I don't know how to kidnap anybody. I'm just telling you what I've seen in the movies. But generally speaking, and not to make light of it, it's a team's. You need a team for kidnapping.
Yes, yes, correct. So now Carl, her husband, does admit that there had been problems in the marriage early on, but I'm just gonna. This is from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, so I'm just gonna tell you what all this says. He admits on the stand to an affair early on in their marriage, and he does admit to punching his wife once during a drunken altercation.
Punching? That's, mm-hmm. that's strong.
However, he said that they were on very good terms when she died. As I understand it, those things happened early on in the marriage. They had moved on from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've been married for decades.
And things were good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and no one, I mean, I'm sure if she were this abused wife, if she had shown up to work or any of her colleagues had had any kind of suspicions or if she had any bruises or something, they would have called those folks to the stand to try and
yeah.
put the blame on Carl. I feel like this defense attorney would have done that.
Absolutely.
So
that's the easiest thing to do.
It was so much easier than trying to say this was a whole sex kinky thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's got really nothing of that to go on.
I think the defense strategy is a little bit of everything. Let's just throw a bunch of shit up against the wall.
Yeah.
Give the jury so much to look at that they get confused
mm-hmm.
and maybe there's
enough
spare
doubt
his
there
life.
That, yeah.
Because that's all this is an attempt to keep him out of the electric chair or the gas chamber or whatever the method of execution is in Arkansas or was in 2014.
So let's find out what happened. How do you think the jury, first of all, let's do two things.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it took the jury?
Okay.
And what do you think the verdict was?
2 hours guilty.
Oh, that's quick. 4 hours guilty.
1 hour guilty.
Wow. That's just time to write your names on the paper.
I mean, they were doing the paperwork for the most of that. Right. They all walked back in there and went, okay, is everybody guilty? Yeah, we're good. All right, fill it all out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1 hour, guilty. He was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
Okay.
Crystal Lowry was sentenced to 30 years in prison after pleading guilty to first-degree murder and kidnapping. She tried to get paroled in 2020, which would cut her sentence pretty much in half. She was trying to do a plea for clemency. Mm-hmm. Katie, can you explain to me what that is?
I mean, clemency is just getting off. You know, like, you know, they know you did it, but you...
Maybe her appeal is, I helped you convict this murderer.
Mm-hmm.
How about reconsidering?
How about giving me some grace here? Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because clemency is a little different from a pardon. Because, okay, yeah. A clemency just is like, it strips away the legal consequences. But a pardon is like, you never did it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So she's just saying, I've spent time in jail from, well,
yeah,
what,
2016
to 2020.
Yeah.
And so can I get some clemency? And so she writes a letter to the Arkansas governor at the time, was Asa Hutchinson, and saying that she had found God and had achieved exemplary institutional adjustment.
I bet that went well for her.
She asked to continue repaying her debt to society outside of prison walls. So maybe she's asking for like probation,
halfway
or
house,
something.
Home arrest.
And she writes, I know I can never say or do enough to change what I did. She argued that she was not a danger to society and would not have been in that position had it not been for Aaron Lewis. I mean, there's probably some truth in that. I don't know if she would ever have decided to kidnap someone, but she still went along with it. She's saying that she feels like paying her debt to society could be better with volunteer work.
Oh, Lord.
And things outside of prison.
You can't blame a girl for trying. I mean,
this is throwing something against the wall and see what sticks, right?
I mean, I know, like, if Shane came to me and said, we're going to kidnap this girl, there's nothing in me that would be like, okay. You talked me into it. I mean, I know KT couldn't talk you into
No.
I'm like,
I'm going to go kidnap this person for ransom.
Yeah.
Well, the hell you say? Yeah. Hold on. We're going to divorce first.
Yeah.
And so she finishes saying, I am asking you for a second chance to prove myself redeemable to society. Mm. I mean, you know,
sounds like a well-written plea for clemency.
Anybody got any guesses on what happened?
Hard no.
Was she even answered?
Denied by the parole board in July of 2020. No. So pretty quickly was denied. So like you said, hard pass, hard no, whatever that was.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. If you're, well, with the case of Beverly Carter. Now, since then, her son, Carl Jr., has started a foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the safety of real estate professionals and those they serve by providing research information, consulting, training, and support to every level of the real estate industry. Sorry. This is why I should wear my glasses, Scott. I'm like trying to read. I thought I blew it up big enough.
I'm tired of being right.
Anyways, I know. So he starts this foundation. You can visit it. I have it linked in the references for the show that I emailed Katie earlier. And you can see all the different things that they do. Things like the buddy system when you're, you know, showing a home or just things like that in different types of industries where you might go out on your own like that.
Well, and I know that the realtors, and Katie, you deal with the real estate industry here in this community, but I know that most of the realtors here get along very well. They all work together. If Greg Oliver, who is one of our sponsors, if he has a listing and somebody else at one of the other agencies in town comes across a client who is right for that house, they work together and swap back and forth with each other. I would be curious to know if they have some sort of buddy system here in Cherokee County.
Right.
If it's after the time changes, somebody from out of state wants to come look at a house at 6 o'clock at night after it's already gotten dark. I wonder if there is a system where they reach out to each other. Right. I'll ask Greg about that when I see him.
Sure.
Again.
Which, you know, Greg probably would need that the least of the realtors around. Greg, but you know, like most of them are women, you know, a large majority of them are women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I hope that they are. I'm sure that they are, but I hope they are.
There is there's currently a woman showing a home in my neighborhood, and I've seen her every time it's during the day in the broad daylight, and they're, you know, they pull up together and then they all leave together. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if she's ever been with someone. I feel like just she's not been, but again,
it may just be as simple as, hey, I'm showing a house at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I will text you at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Yeah,
if you don't hear from me by 10 after 6.
Mm-hmm. And in my neighborhood, the homes are very close together. Or there's a lot of activity going on. Yeah. We've got people in our neighborhood who are retired, so they're there all day. I would feel very safe showing a home in the broad daylight alone in my neighborhood.
Well, if you're out there listening and you are a realtor and you don't have a buddy system, get one. Because unfortunately, we told you today what the consequences can be of not having one.
Right. And I just, go ahead, Katie.
I was going to say, especially in this area, because you'll run out of cell phone service in some areas. I know.
True.
When I sold insurance and I would have to go somewhere, cell phone service was out, I would text and be like, hey, you know, if I don't get back with you in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Come find me, please. This is where I'm at.
And to clarify, I'm not a lawyer. I'm also not a realtor. I get asked that question a lot if I'm a realtor. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
okay.
I just want I just want people to know.
Just figured out our issue.
She is not, when she gets her law degree, we change it to not a real estate agent.
Not a realtor.
I guess because I do real estate closings, people get confused because I've had people literally like message me, which is nice. Hey,
it could be not a pastry chef as far as that matters.
You
it
have
could be anything.
No idea how happy I am that we fixed that.
Not a jailer, not a deputy.
I love it. I just want to say one more thing about Beverly Carter before we finish here. Beverly, you know, a lot of things got brought up. Carl admitted to some things early on in the marriage. The defense tried to say some shady things about Beverly, but the people who knew her and even Carl, all of them said that Beverly was a fantastic person. She was a great mother. She was a great wife. She was a devoted realtor. She was hardworking.
Yeah.
She was just trying to do her job, get dinner, and take it home to her family. So it didn't sit well with me, all of the attempts at assassinating her character.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time on this foundation website and just trying to get to know Beverly a little bit. She's a beautiful lady, a very bright individual whose life was cut short by a monster and died a horrible way. And she didn't deserve any of that. She didn't deserve that. She didn't deserve any of that to be said about her at the trial. And of course, all of their marital stuff getting brought up in. But if you think about it, all the stuff that got brought up, it wasn't necessarily anything that Beverly had done. They could not find any evidence of Beverly doing anything wrong. And she didn't. And even if she had been meeting someone for some other reason, which she was not, that doesn't mean she deserves to die. So I just wanted to make sure, because I just felt like there was a lot of trying to drag her and rake her over the coals. And I didn't like that a whole lot.
That's how it works, unfortunately.
And it stinks.
But justice was served in the end. And
I think so too. I think regardless, if you were meeting her for a hookup and she died that way, you're still guilty of murder. So go to jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. So anyways, that's the case of Beverly Carter from Arkansas. And you can check out our references in the show notes if you want to see the articles and a lot of the... It'll walk you through every little bit of it.
I don't like Arkansas one bit, and you didn't do anything to change that attitude today.
What about the investigators and the medical examiner did a good job.
Did a good job today as well. If you are listening out there and you think that Kelly did a good job, or if you think she totally tanked it, make sure and let us know.
Me.
Go to our Facebook page, leave us a comment. You can listen to us on Spotify for absolutely, positively, 100% free, no charge at all.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave us a review, a 5-star review, we would like to think, on Apple iTunes. If you leave your name, I feel like I'm saying the same damn thing every week. I'm going to come up with a new out next week.
Nope.
Is that it, guys? Are we done?
Yep.
Good night, everybody.